ASHA certified audiologist, Dr. Harriet Jane. Well,
thank you.
Thank you for finishing up some of the more concerns that an audience is with children. Let's switch talk a little bit since very foreign my special. You know, I'm just tricks, I guess, but that'd be of what I see. So what are some of the common things with adults that you see in your office?
Well, again, the difficulty hearing, not so much one-on-one, which usually isn't a problem, but they stop hearing in crowds, they go to a party, they don't hear well in movies.
What age do you see that at? Like, what is the usual age or differs?
The funny thing now with iPhones and iPods and the music and the blasting, this is getting earlier and earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, before it used to be just people like in their 40s, 50s, 70s.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually seeing people in their 20s who are having problems. Okay. Another issue that brings people to either a doctor or something like that is noises in the ear or tinnitus or tinnitus, as some people call it.
Now, what is that exactly?
Oh, tinnitus. This is a great subject. Tinnitus is any sound or noise that you hear that is not caused by an external sound or an external stimulus.
Okay, like an extra sound.
It's an extra sound that you, your brain, your ear creates.
So what is it? Is it like a humming or to each person it's different?
It can be anything. Some people describe it as a high pitch sound. Some people describe it as radiator or hissing sound or crickets, anything like that.
So how do you evaluate those patients? What's the testing like for that?
Well, again, we have to do a complete audiological evaluation to see if there is any hearing loss, because the majority of these people do have some type of hearing loss. Then we do another specialized, what we call a tinnitus evaluation, which we try to match the pitch, the loudness, do any sounds cover it up, anything like that. So that's a special evaluation.
Okay. And what's the treatment for that?
Well, again, the first thing to do is refer the patient back to a physician to just make sure there's not a physical problem that is actually causing the tinnitus.
Right.
I mean, there's hundreds of reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it could be something as simple as wax in the ear to a middle ear infection to growths in the ear on the nerve. Once the medical reasons have been ruled out, the patient then goes back to their audiologist who is trained in tinnitus therapy. And the most successful types of therapy combine some kind of sound that we use along with therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the patient's view of tinnitus.
Okay.
You know, it's not a bad, it's there.
Right.
We try to break the cycle of tinnitus, bad reaction, which makes the tinnitus worse. It's a team approach. I've invited psychiatrists, nutritionists, you know, and dietitians, everything like that, physicians, neurologists, ENTs. And
so everybody really working together.
It's a team. It's a team approach. And the key is to get the patient, as we call, habituated or adapt to the tinnitus so that it's no longer a problem. It becomes part of their life as much as an air conditioner.
Right.
You don't hear
it. So it's like white noise. Like
exactly.
Stuff that you completely, absolutely.
It's in the background. It's still there, but it's
in the
background.
But it's not like an annoying, hey, I got to get this out of my head.
Exactly. We train you. It's there. We're used to it. It longer impedes your lifestyle.
No, absolutely. Now, that's great. Now, talking a little bit about deafness. Now, can that be reversed naturally? Or is that something where implants are a big... walk me through that.
Okay. Deafness. First of all, there's hearing loss and there's deafness. Deafness is really almost a complete loss or a severe loss where a person cannot communicate. Once you get to that level, pretty much there's not that much to do to reverse it.
Okay.
All right. Hearing loss, again, it depends on the cause. Is it a middle ear infection, which, yes, it can be reversed.
Right.
But if it's nerve damage, once the nerves die off, there's not much we can do to reverse that. I know there's a lot of research being done on hair cell regeneration, but that's quite a few years off. The key is we would like to get you to slow down the progression if possible.
So what are some of the ways you slow it down?
Well,
getting rid of the iPhone?
Yes,
I don't know if I could survive without it.
The most important thing, believe it or not, is just simple hearing protection. Mm-hmm. Earplugs, avoiding noise.
Right.
Or if you have to be in noise, wear hearing protection. Noise is the number one cause of hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to watch is your diet, your general health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you keep your body and mind healthy by eating right, mm-hmm. doing exercise, it keeps your ears healthy. And the third thing is if you notice any change in your hearing or you notice anything like the ringing,
mm-hmm.
consult your doctor, consult an audiologist, because if it's something that we can catch early enough,
mm-hmm.
it might be something we can help.
Great.
Or I won't say fix, but you
right.
know,
try to prevent it from getting worse.
Try to prevent it from getting worse. Oh, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we wrap it up, I wanted to talk a little bit about cochlear implants, since we get those questions from parents all the time. Can you talk a little bit about what they are? Are they safe? Are they effective?
A cochlear implant is basically a bionic ear. It's a set of electrodes mm-hmm. that are inserted into the inner ear. There is a magnet, and there is an external, what we call, sound processor, which looks like a really big hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
It's implanted in people, and it can be implanted as early as 6 months to age.
Right.
I've had patients 90s, mm-hmm. in their 90s get cochlear implants. It's implanted when standard measures such as hearing aids are no longer helpful, no longer giving
right,
enough communication.
Right.
There are about 215,000 cochlear implants in the world.
Oh, wow.
And approximately 14,000 in the United States alone. They are surgically implanted,
uh-huh.
so any risk of, you know, there's always
right, the
a
typical risk.
The typical
right.
risk of surgery, but the cochlear implant itself is safe.
Right.
It is safe. It's extremely effective. The effectiveness does depend on some aspects, however. A lot of it depends on the age when the child or adult is implanted.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how long they've had a hearing loss.
Okay.
Obviously, someone who's had a hearing loss, you know, for 30, 40 years may not get as much benefit as someone who just suddenly lost their hearing
right.
and gets the implant.
Right.
So it's the cognitive ability. But I have my patients, you know, who can't hear a thing
mm-hmm.
with hearing aids. They get an implant, and a month or two or three, 6 months later, it's like a whole new world has opened.
That's great.
That's amazing. Yes, it is. They're a wonderful alternative and help for severe and profound hearing loss.
Great. Well, before we end, any helpful tips to end the session with?
Hearing protection.
Number one.
Hearing protection. Hearing protection.
Great. I don't think we can stress that enough.
Hearing protection. Keep your body and mind healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do notice any change in your hearing, anything, any pain, any ringing in the ears, call your doctor or an audiologist as soon as possible.
Okay, great. And just once again, where are you located and how can someone access you?
We are located in Monroe, New York, in the Gateway Plaza on Route 17M. And they can go on my website at www.lyricaudiology.com. And that's Lyric, like the music, L-Y-R-I-C, audiology.com. And they can contact me through there, or I'm also on Facebook, Lyric Audiology.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This was truly helpful.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back after this.
I commute from Schenectady.